College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen as we continue to cover the story of the mid-air collision that occurred 8:48 p.m. on Wednesday night over the Potomac River, just short of the runway at Reagan International Airport, between a regional American Airlines jet and a Army Black Hawk helicopter, taking the lives of 67 people.
Yeah, 64 on board the plane, 3 on the chopper. I mentioned earlier, we were talking about the human side of this and the cost that it is, a loss, a huge loss to the U.S. figure skating community. Six of the passengers were a member of the Skating Club of Boston. That's where Nancy Kerrigan also trained, and she was at a news conference. I want to share with you her comments.
Not sure how to process it, which is why I'm here. I feel for the athletes, the skaters, and their families, but anyone that was on that plane, not just the skaters, because it's just such a tragic event.
Yeah, the faces now that we're seeing of the people lost, that's when it really starts to hit emotionally. The first reaction is, oh no. And then when you start to hear the stories, for instance, one of the pilots on the helicopter, 29 years old, has a one-year-old child and a wife. And then the skating families that have been lost.
And then on the other side of it, we have a nation in shock. We haven't had anything like this happen in 15 years. The last time we had a bad incident was in 2009. Buffalo. And here's Mark Strassman on that.
Since that crash in Buffalo, our aviation system has grown more stressed, more tested every day. Increased flights, air traffic controller staffing issues, climate change, worsening weather, and more objects to avoid in the sky, including private planes and drones.
So we'll continue to bring details, but they have not recovered all the bodies yet. So that's the main focus in the moment. And of course, the immediate safety concerns around how this could happen.
There are some things that I know about the recovery effort that I will not repeat on the air. But I can tell you that 40 bodies have been recovered thus far, and there is a concern that they may not be able to recover all of the remains.
The weather here has changed significantly after our deep freeze for almost 2 weeks, and we're feeling and seeing the effects of that. First of all, it hasn't rained in a month.
Boy, I was glad to see it, though, when I woke up this morning. It's melting the salt off the front of my approach to my home.
That said, it's also creating these fog areas because of you have the warmer air with the rain over the snowbank, so the colder air is still at the ground surface, and then you have the fog, so it's patches of dense fog for your commute today.
Yeah, and we have a flood watch, Larry. It's in effect through Saturday afternoon. The Weather Service is estimating rainfall amounts between a half inch to 1.25 inches of rain on this melting snowpack could cause the rivers to go up significantly. They'll impact river ice. Ice jam flooding is a possibility. So there you go. Hopefully we'll stay more around a half inch of rain, right?
Yeah, that's all we're anticipating. So that's not the amount of rain in and of itself isn't the reason for the concern of the flooding, as you pointed out. We haven't had a river freeze over like this for a long time.
Yes, that's true. I would say that, what was I going to say? Well, you got me off track. Okay, I forgot.
Don't blame me. I take enough blame. So as we get into February, starting tomorrow, by the end of next week, we might hit 60 degrees.
I was going to say, now I remember, I think we're going to be closer to the lower end of the rain range because The last time I looked at an hour-by-hour forecast, it said it was going to continue to rain from 11 o'clock last night through 8 o'clock tonight. And now here we are in this gap of, you know, between two bands of rain, one to the north, the other to the south. Looks like this could last for quite a while. So maybe we will wind up on the lower end of the scale, and that would be good in terms of the river situation.
Well, we've got the Super Bowl coming up next Sunday, Philadelphia, Kansas City, and New Orleans, 6:30 kickoff, then some, because they always, they tell you it's kicking off at 6:30, but then there's all the pomp and circumstance, all day programming and all that next Sunday. Pro Bowl activities this weekend, not as big a deal, obviously, but what is bigger than all of this is the Super Bowl of weather on Sunday, Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania.
That's when they hoist the little guy in the air after pulling him out of his comfortable little stump.
On Gobbler's Knob.
Yes. And then they read the little poem. The guys with the funny hats all come out. And there's how many people generally are there on hand for these?
It varies on the weather, day of the week. Now, on a Sunday, a lot of people who would normally go on a weekday will go up, so there's more families involved.
It's going to be around freezing, I would guess.
Yeah. I've been there, Paul, when there's been 30,000 people on Gobbler's Knob.
What a spectacle.
2 days, 1 hour, 1 minute, and 45 seconds from now, we'll get the prognostication.
They have a countdown clock.
They do.
I love it.
Countdown to Groundhog Day. And Aaron, you said you've never seen the movie. This is the weekend. The Bill Murray movie?
I have not.
It's actually pretty good.
It's a classic.
Would you say on the list, because it's kind of long, this imaginary list that I have of movies, where does it rank? Top five?
Here's what it was to me. I didn't know. How can they make a movie called Groundhog Day that would be any good? But it's surprisingly good, and you don't know why, but you get sucked in. And
oh, it's a wonderful... inspirational message in the movie.
It just has like an it factor about it.
It does. I would say, you know, in terms of romantic comedies, which is what I would classify it as, in my opinion, it's in the top five.
I just thought of something. So I've been there many times since the movie came out, now 30 years ago. How about that? But you're going to love this, Aaron. I was invited back. And I went to many of the festivities that they have planned, like the Groundhog Ball.
What in the... Did you wear a tux?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Groundhog Wow.
Larry's an honorary member of the Inner Circle up there. I'm not kidding here.
Should have brought my top hat.
Yeah, what?
You know, that pop-up top hat. You didn't know that?
Today was the day for you, Larry.
I'm actually...
To bring the...
An honorary Inner Circle member.
Wow.
Which I'm going to put next to my manatee trophy for being the ambassador to Bradenton.
Yes.
I mean, what a life. What luck. You know, Marty's always saying he's got a life, but I'm telling you, he's never been to Punxsutawney.
They called him Mr. Manatee.
Oh, my God. So I went to the dueling piano bar the night before the hog was extracted.
Oh, my.
And guess what?
Unloading this morning.
Oh, man.
I got COVID.
What?
Yeah.
Yep.
This was the year after. Yeah, I got COVID.
I remember that.
That thing is like a silent smoke that just enters a room.
Silent smoke.
You don't know until it strikes you.
How many people could say I went to the dueling piano bar on the Groundhog Ball drop night and got COVID?
Well, I can say that I've been to the dueling piano bar at Pat O'Brien's in the French Quarter.
There you go.
You guys share that now.
So, Groundhog Day with Rob Pratt. He's going to be on the air when the festivities take place Sunday morning. Don't miss that. I may get up just to listen. Download the free Odyssey app. Take us with you wherever you go. AUDACY. We'll keep you posted on breaking news and weather information. Crystal clear digital sound. And you can check out our talk shows. Marty Griffin, 10 to 2. Colin Dunlap, 2 to 6 to get you home. Somebody called Aaron. What did they want to know about Groundhog Day?
She called and she said, does Larry know if the movie was filmed in Punxsutawney?
It was not. It was filmed in Ohio.
Boom.
No, it was filmed in Woodstock, Illinois, Chicago, because Bill Murray, in order for him to do the movie, said...
Had to be close to Chicago.
Yeah, had to be close to Chicago. So, but he came the year before they actually did principal photography. They did a walkthrough on Groundhog Day the previous year.
And they did, a pretty good job.
Like replicating.
Especially the spirit of the event.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it's just a quirky, fun, tongue-in-cheek event. But what always mystified me was people would ask me, and some of these people, in some cases, highly educated, PhDs, be like, hey, Larry, how's that no? Like that ground up. I'm like, really?
How's it sure every year?
Seriously.
What's Punxsutawney Phil's actual percentage of accuracy? It's like, 60-70%?
Yeah, you know who gets hacked off, Paul? The meteorologists.
Well, tough.
I'm sure.
They can't give it up for one day. They got to act all like, Groundhog doesn't know what he's talking about. Even them saying that is like, really?
Yeah.
Are you that insecure?
Some people do get pretty worked up about it. They take themselves a little too seriously.
And then PETA sent them a letter this year. They want Phil to retire.
They did it last year, too. They say that Phil's existence is not good.
I do think it's sweet that they keep it. You know, all these years, just a really funny tradition. It shouldn't be taken serious at all.
Well, for people that don't know, Phil is well taken care of.
The most spoiled groundhog on the face of this planet.
I'm serious.
I mean, climate-controlled quarters to roam around in.
I know you weren't here yesterday, Paul, but I mentioned that this is a little cheat code secret. In that stump, the famous stump with the little door on Gobbler's Knob where they extract Phil.
The site of the extraction.
It's heated.
Yes, it is.
They've got fresh hay sits on in there.
And then he also has his little flask.
Yes, a bourbon flask.
Oh, are you guys being funny or he does?
Pappy Van Winkle. And Phil sits in there, laid back.
Yeah, until they pull him out of there.
And there's a 100-watt light bulb in there.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. It's not going to be all that cold on Sunday. Now, I went up. The first year I went, it was 13 below zero, the actual temperature. I stood outside of that stump for 3.5 hours and could not feel my extremities. I wanted to mention something to brighten your spirits for the weekend. Do you recall me saying that there was a gathering to determine the possibility of the Earth being hit by an asteroid? Well, don't look up. Experts from NASA and the European Space Agency believe there's a slight chance that an asteroid could hit the Earth in the next 7 years. Add that to your list.
I was going
to
say, on top of everything else.
Everything else that's going on, you got to worry about an asteroid. That movie, did you ever see that movie with Bruce Willis?
Oh, sure. One of those movies that if you run across it while you're flipping through the channels, you stop and watch 10 or 15 minutes.
For me, that's Forrest Gump. Every time that movie, you're clicking through and I'll stop for a minute.
There are these kind of movies that you just love them so much you want to watch a few minutes and then move on. Like The Godfather is another one of those.
Absolutely. And last night, did you see the star power for this Fire Aid concert in California?
What a incredible, incredible lineup. When I heard when I heard it, I thought, listen to this list. Billie Eilish, Rod Stewart, Dr. Dre, Joni Mitchell, Red Hot Chili Peppers, speech from Billy Crystal, the surviving members of Nirvana, Lady Gaga closed the night with a new song. Look out.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Green Day.
That's incredible. They also had Rod Stewart, who's coming to Pittsburgh this summer, and Acrisure with Billy Joel.
I would be remiss if I didn't say Stevie Wonder was in the lineup as well. I mean, it just goes on and on.
I got to go to this concert this summer.
Yeah, pretty much everyone on the list is like reached that untouchable level.
Yeah, A-list.
Exactly, yeah. Right.
A-listers.
Yep.
Yeah. But they raised a ton of money to help the people, and many of them are people they know, too, out there in California with the wildfires. On the Big K Morning Show with Anchorman Paul Rasmussen, recovery efforts of the bodies that are still missing underway in our nation's capital after the mid-air collision. With the latest, CBS's Natalie Brand.
The investigation's still in its very early stages, of course, but since yesterday, we've learned that the American Eagle crew on that flight was asked to change runways before landing. And then we've also learned that staffing inside the air traffic control tower was not normal at the time of the crash.
Dive recovery efforts are expected to resume today in the Potomac River for the victims of Wednesday night's tragic mid-air collision between an American Airlines jet and an Army Black Hawk helicopter. Investigators are also combing through the site collecting evidence. The National Transportation Safety Board says it's analyzing the plane's two black boxes, vital pieces in their search for answers.
We want to make sure we get it right. We take our time. We involve a lot of people, a lot of parties. That's the best way to make sure that we don't let tragedies like this happen again.
At the time of the crash, both aircraft were flying at about 400 feet. Military helicopters are supposed to stay below 200 feet. Sources also tell CBS News that just one air traffic control worker was managing helicopter traffic and some planes taking off and landing when the collision happened, a task that's usually handled by two different people at that time of day.
As part of any investigation, we look at the human, the machine, and the environment.
This was the first major commercial plane crash in the United States in around 16 years. Among those killed, young figure skaters, their parents and coaches returning from a competition and training camp.
I couldn't believe it at first, but after reality sets in, it's tragic.
Memorials of flowers placed in their honor at ice rinks in Northern Virginia and Boston.
CBS News has also learned that the crew chief on board the Army helicopter was 29-year-old Ryan O'Hara, who leaves behind a wife and one-year-old son. Pentagon defense officials are among those contributing to this investigation. The NTSB says it expects to have a preliminary report on what happened within 30 days.
CBS's Natalie Brand in Washington.
And to put a finer point, Larry, on the air traffic control staffing issue, what's normal for them now at Reagan and other airports, I would assume, but at Reagan, in the nighttime hours when traffic starts to ease, they go from two controllers to one. But that happened much earlier on Wednesday night. And that raises the question, what was the motivation for that? Was it a staffing issue? Did someone have to leave early? That's something important to know.
And I'm sure they will sort that out. There is also video evidence of the crash from multiple sources now. And then President Trump signed two executive orders following the crash between American Airlines and the Black Hawk helicopter. CBS's Linda Kenyon from the White House.
One executive order officially appoints an acting deputy administrator to the Federal Aviation Administration. The second orders an immediate assessment of aviation safety and specifically cites the Biden administration's diversity policies. The president was asked, are you saying race or gender played a role in this tragedy?
It may have. I don't know. Incompetence might have played a role.
Doubling down on the competence issue without evidence of incompetence.
If they don't have a great brain, a great power of the brain, they're not going to be very good at what they do, and bad things will happen.
Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
And now putting faces to those who perished, the skating teams, families that were on board. I guess they were just outside of Boston.
Yeah, Skating Club of Boston. Which means that they probably were drawing the cream of the crop from all over that region.
And unbelievably, from that same rink where they practice, in 1961, they lost 18 skaters. They lost half their team in a plane crash in Brussels. And they're one of the survivors, and we'll share that with you in the next half hour, talked about how unbelievable this is for him to have survived one and now have this other tragedy.
The skating community is very tight. very, very close. And I know that from growing up. My hometown had a very talented skater who wound up competing in the Olympics. And the Great Falls Figure Skating Club became a very powerful group with a great deal of influence in the community, building a new arena kind of centered on the needs of the skating club. And you know, so many families had boys and girls learning how to figure skate. So,
and there were some very young participants too involved. So we'll have more on that part of the story coming up on KDK. January, the first month of the new year, we've had our share of issues weather-wise. And when the weather turns, turn to the KDK Radio Storm Center, brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh Demand, the Yellow Van, and Butler Transit Authority. Paul, we had mentioned, once you start putting faces to the victims, it gets increasingly more emotional and difficult. And with that part of the story with the skating team, Beth Germano is in the Boston area from CBS.
The rink was empty at the Skating Club of Boston after six members from this elite figure skating community were killed aboard the American Airlines flight that crashed near Washington, D.C. Doug Zegheib is the CEO.
Our rink is eerily quiet. Coaches are not coming in. Kids are not coming in. I think everybody's mourning privately.
The club is mourning the loss of 13-year-old Gina Hahn and 16-year-old Spencer Lane, two up-and-coming skaters. Hahn's mother, Jin, and Lane's mother, Christine, were also on the plane, along with their children's coaches, Vadim Nomov and Jenya Shishkova. Douglas Lane lost his wife and his son.
Was just loved by everyone, from the adults running the club to the smallest skaters to the people that are, you know, competing for a shot at the Olympics. They all just adored him.
Their Russian-born coaches, Shishkova and Nomov, were married. They won the pairs title at the World Championship in 1994 and competed in the Winter Olympics twice. Their son, Maxime, a competitive figure skater for the U.S., was not on the plane.
They grew up in St. Petersburg. They learned a very traditional Russian style of skating and training. That is something they brought here.
Former Olympic ice skater Nancy Kerrigan, an alumna of the Skating Club of Boston, came to the training facility to lend her support.
The main lesson I think learned in skating is you get back up. Keep on trying, and even when it's hard, you get back up.
This is not the first time tragedy has struck this club. In 1961, the entire 18-member U.S. figure skating team was killed after their plane crashed as it was landing in Brussels. Almost half the plane's passengers were members of the Skating Club of Boston, according to the CEO.
I'm right here.
Paul George was part of the club, but was still competing at the junior level, so he was not on the plane.
In 1961, I said, that's the day the music stopped, and the same has happened here again.
The coach's son, Maxime, was supposed to compete next weekend, but it's unclear if he will skate or if any other events or competitions will be postponed. In the meantime, the club says it will be up to individual skaters to decide when they are comfortable to return to the ice. For CBS News, I'm Beth Germano in Norwood, Massachusetts.
Just outside of Boston, another victim was from Cincinnati. Her name, Elizabeth Keys. She died on her birthday. In that crash, 33-year-old, a valedictorian in high school, 2014 graduate of Tufts University. She was on that flight from Wichita to our nation's capital, just 33 years old. Her friends and family, the family statement saying Elizabeth was strong and fearless. She embraced life at full speed. Liz was always surrounded by friends on her ski trips out west, where she described skiing as flying, and frequently visited her favorite place, Hawaii, to hike and relax on the beach. Mm. This is what's really hard, is when you start to hear the stories of who these people are and how they'll be missed. And one of the pilots on the Black Hawk helicopter, 29 years old, married, had a one-year-old child. And they have not yet recovered all the bodies. And it's going to be challenging from here on.
Nearly 30 still to recover. And as I mentioned earlier, the officials are saying they may not be able to recover all of them.
So we're going to go live right after the news at 7 to Washington, get the latest on those efforts and more as we get ready for change over to another month. It has been one unbelievable month when you think of the news stories each and every day on so many levels, Paul, to start this new year.
We did get some good news yesterday from the government. The consumer spending grew at a 4.2% pace. That's the fastest since the first quarter of 23. It's up 3.7% from the third quarter. So that's about a half a percent, right? And the economy grew nicely as well. The economy was up 2.3% growth from October to December. Fourth quarter growth, full year, 2.8% GDP growth. That's not too bad.
That's pretty impressive, actually. Yeah, we'll take any crumbs you can give us.
Any upside, right?